That's right.
I'll show you some PowerPoints. Gonna start with his finger.
Yeah. Point really strong.
I don't have anything new or different as far as retention, really. Pretty much doing the same thing you all are doing. So what I thought I would do is talk about our fitness boot camp that tanked last year and just canceled. And now totally reformulating, so starting off with a whole new thing.
I'm only laughing because I just modeled my new program on his old program.
Well, I think I have some improvements for it. The reason I think it had a flawed business model to begin with, it was a good program. It grossed about $20,000 a month, but I split it totally with one of my students who was a fitness trainer, and it required a fair amount of advertising. So we were spending $3,000 a month on advertising, and so she was in its good days up until a year ago. For her working 10 hours, 12 hours a week, she was making $5,000 or $6,000 a month. And it was $5,000 or $6,000 a month net into the Peaceful Daggers. For me and George to show up on Saturday morning for 1 hour to roll. So it was a good deal for the school. But then it just quickly, as soon as the economy tanked, everything just dropped off very quickly. So the one flaw was that it required a lot of continuous advertising expenses. The second was it Lynn, girl in charge, she's a great trainer. She had no, as much as I tried to work with her, she just wasn't into developing systems for retention. So people would sign up for 6 months or 12 months, and you had to just keep churning out. So it was fine when the economy was good, but it didn't. So my new version, what I'm putting together, there's never been a problem getting leads. People are still interested. But I've changed it to what I'm calling the Zen Super Boot Camp. Similar to the last one, focused on weight loss and fitness. So it's a different market from our martial arts and Tai Chi. There's a little bit of overlap, but they're really looking specifically for weight loss. And what I'm doing, instead of making it a whole separate entity, like the cardio kickboxing program and things that other schools do, I'm actually integrating it with our Zen meditation and Tai Chi program and offering weekly seminars and weekly workout specifically on nutrition, stress reduction, changing mental habits, and that kind of thing. So I think the structure now is really becoming, when you join the boot camp now, you're actually becoming a Peaceful Dragon student, not a boot camp student. And so it's got the same track for upgrading into a master program after 2 months and so forth. The price points are identical. It's going to have three options: silver, gold, and platinum. Silver is $200 a month, gold is $300 a month, the platinum is $700 a month. And just like last time, nobody ever joined the platinum, it's just there to make the other ones seem cheaper. But the model now, I think as the economy picks back up, we'll get back up to 100, 120 members in there. So it'll be an extra 20,000 net to the Peaceful Dragon instead of splitting it. So that's the hope of it.
So you're going to use this as a kind of initial feeder into your standard programs.
Correct.
Is that okay?
Which really, I mean, that's the same. I think we talked about this last time, but I mean, that's the same model that, that's the Achilles heel of fitness kickboxing, right? Is because they come in thinking about it like a health club, which means their commitment level is about like a health club, which means their retention is about like a health club. So you do have to move them to something really quick, you know, to get them to stick, to get them to think right. And, Jim Graydon's UBC thing kind of does that, right? It's like this ultimate body shaping course. And the other piece of the puzzle that you might want to think about, by the way, is what the code Jim cracked was it's level one, level two, level three, or whatever, right? But then when you get through level one, you move on to level two, you can become a level one trainer. So he has kind of a built-in track to train to spin off instructors. You know, so he doesn't have to be teaching all the classes himself, right? So, and they kind of like that, you know what I mean? Because they, you know, that's the same as a student, right? It's the same deal, right? They kind of want to be an instructor. So that's kind of how his model works, and it's exactly the same. It's the same price points, the same contracts, the same everything as regular school is. They're just coming in for a different purpose, really. I mean, you know.
And once they're trainers, do they still pay and do all that stuff?
Or? Well, yeah, they're still paying for level two, but then for level one, he gives them some kind of credit or something. Some of them actually do become like his staff, you know. But it's just another one of those pieces of the puzzle that is interesting to kind of integrate into that, because then you're spinning off. Well, because, you know, with people that are doing multis, that's like their number one biggest problem is spinning off enough staff people, you know, because they don't have a system that spins off staff people. So if that's something that, if that's a problem you think you're going to have, it might be something to think about.
Really, I think with the model, I don't have to add any staff.
Yeah,
they're
going straight into the other thing.
Doing that.
Yeah.
The only thing we're adding is I'm doing a 1 hour a week seminar, and once a month I have a nutritionist who's a guest speaker for that seminar. So I'm really doing 3 hours a month. And then George is going to teach a boot camp class 1 hour a week, where they're riding, kickboxing,
mm-hmm.
Circuit training, relay races, fun stuff. That's just different from that. So we don't have to add anything.
Yeah. See, I like that a lot better.
How many classes a week of actual workout classes are there going to be?
I'll tell you exactly what the program includes.
Play back in your head what Eric just said a minute ago, too, right? See, that was part of the model when he was building it is, he knows he doesn't want to spend 5 hours a week doing this thing,
mm-hmm.
right? 3 hours a month is what he's willing to, you know what I mean? And see, that's something that almost nobody thinks about ahead of time. They think, well, I want this program. And they say, well, I'll do whatever I have to do this program, right? And they end up sucked into it for, hour on hour on hour on hour every week, right? But you got to go at it from the angle of, how do I want my life to look, right? And then how do I want the business model to look? And, does the customer, is there a customer that'll fit that? Probably that's backwards, but you get the idea.
I'll be happy to email this if anybody wants to. I'll just quickly read what's included. Silver program, it's 2 relaxing and invigorating Tai Chi classes each week, custom boot camp fitness and weight loss class each week, seminar on key fitness and weight loss topics each week, monthly student discussion group, monthly online newsletter, monthly online lesson in the way of martial arts, specially assigned buddies for valuable group motivation, 20% discount on herbs and vitamins, total value $405 a month. Gold program, and my sales thing, I break down the actual value of each. So they see the $400 value, and then later they see it's only $197 actually. Gold program, Master Sparge's personal advice and journal entries each week, daily personal email access with Master Sparge, personalized planning consultation with Master Sparge each quarter, tuition for annual 3-day mountain Tai Chi retreat, fitness hotline article referrals, 20% discount on nutritional counseling, acupuncture, and traditional Chinese medicine. It's total value of $570. Platinum program includes everything in the gold program, plus weekly Zen meditation class for mental development, 1 hour private exercise class with a certified instructor each week, and personalized planning consultation with Master Sparge each month. That's $1,010.
So now,
do you have any marketing?
Sorry. Go ahead.
Do you have any marketing pieces for the program put together?
I have the whole website written already.
What is the site?
It's not up yet, but it's going to be zensuperbootcamp.com.
What now?
Zensuperbootcamp.com.
Can you show that to us on your laptop there?
The site?
Yeah.
I can't really show it because it hasn't been designed, but I can show the copy.
He's not a technical guy. We know it.
This is the first time he showed up with a notebook computer.
That's true.
Kind of cool.
Computer, what do you want computer for? Here, can you take this?
Look at us.
Look at us still.
I got my computer, just has no battery life. So.
What did you want to see?
Yeah, the website or whatever other marketing materials you have.
Are you going to do like the Google thing for how they just turn into something like that?
Yes. What's the question, John?
Well, yeah, it's a good point. I asked him if he was going to do Google AdWords, Google pay-per-click on fitness keywords, right? Geographically targeted fitness keywords, weight loss in diets in, that sort of stuff.
Basically, I just picked up the copy here from the old version?
We're getting there. Thanks. I got this like all MacGyver together here.
By the way, I'm invited to a 700 leadership classes.
Shot the video yet. It's going to have the 1 minute video thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the lead in stuff.
Was it how to safely and effectively lose 20 to 100 pounds and keep it off for good? I like it. You know who you should talk to Eric, is there might be some synergy to be had, is with Scott Smith. Remember Scott? He did Maha Karate's infomercial, but he also did ATA's infomercial, and he did a bunch of infomercials. He's in the fitness motivation business right now, right? He's got a website. He's got actually about 20,000 active customers, right? And basically, it's get moving, stay moving is his thing. So sort of like the fitness motivation piece of it. So there might be a way you can work together, you know, content and all that other stuff. Add value.
And it's your basic long letter, different things. Incorporates a lot of takeaway copy. Big element in the copy is the coaching element.
Yeah.
Other weight loss programs don't work, but you're getting
personal
trainer service for group class prices.
Yeah, you got to tell them. See, you got to. That's the number 4 reason, right? They don't believe in themselves, right? So you have to like give them a reason to believe that they've always been doing something wrong in every other program they've been in, and here's the reason why. And this is how we solve it. So very, very, very smart, you know, right?
Tell them why it's not their fault if it has worked.
There you go.
Comparisons, well, the other crap they've tried that hasn't worked, which they've pissed away.
Very well thought out.
Goes into some of the science. So the whole emphasis really is that other things focus on either the diet or the physical part, but they don't deal with the mental part. They're going to fail if they don't do the mental part. So it brings in Zen meditation, psycho-cybernetics, genetic routing stuff, all that kind of stuff. So you're really trying to work from the inside out to lose weight. So that's the basic sales approach to it.
You'd be willing to email that around to everybody?
Don't join the fear element. Gets into how it's more expensive to live your life overweight than to spend a couple thousand dollars to do this. Then you fill out the form, click that, it brings up the application form. You have to fill out a lengthy application form.
Is that the first time the opt-in comes since we're down there?
It comes in several times throughout. So that's the website.
And that's just a function of testing whether you can get them to opt in with just the video or not. You know what I mean? I know that we can get a parent to opt in with just the video, a little bit of text, and an offer, or the other thing.
So you're going to...
This might be different.
Are you going to open up with a standard web page, or are you going to open up with like a video squeeze page, or just video on that page, or...
If I did exactly what Toby suggests, I'd go with the squeeze page. And it might... But I also might go with the version I had been doing, which was working, which was just the long letter, but with the addition of adding the 1 minute video up front that gets their attention as well.
Go with what's working. That's the one thing. I mean, I'm never going to be emotionally attached to something just because I'm emotionally attached to it. You know what I mean? I'm going to go with what, if it stops working, if something works better, I'm going to do
and
that.
I'm sure at some point I'll test doing that too.
Yeah.
But first, I want to just get it up running using the model that I know is working for us.
And you're going to buy Google, or you're going to buy you got to buy geotargeted, right? So,
correct.
I'm looking at the keyword tool right now. When you put the Charlotte, North Carolina switch in there, there's very low volume to be able to measure. But if you buy, when you buy geotargeted, I mean, the weight loss terms are some of the most searched terms, right? I mean, so far it's like
What's the Google site that give you that to Google?
I'll walk you through that later if you guys want. But it's called the Google AdWords keyword. But I'll walk you guys through that.
I've been there before.
Keywords I've got right now that are fitness, weight loss, exercise, and boot camp, all those kinds of things. I think just from our experience, we did 3 years of this testing with Google AdWords and things, kind of found what works.
Playing volume was there? Yeah, I would expect that there would.
And we didn't even have the site optimized for organic searches this time. We're a lot better able to do that.
Yeah.
So the whole copy already includes all the keywords that are on the farms and stuff.
Right. Good. I mean, that's pretty damn sharp, right? Oh, diet books. That's an interesting one. That's a big searcher.
Questions on that?
Got it.
Very well thought out.
And I don't think, as I said, I don't think anything else stands out as far as what we're doing for retention that I didn't hear already. Anything come to your guys' minds that we're doing special?
There are lots of things that come to my mind.
There's a lot of things, but it's like your list. We do a lot of things, but I don't think we're doing anything specifically unique. For
sure.
What do you guys think about the name Zen Super Bootcamp?
I thought it was cool.
What do you guys think?
Don't look at us. We don't disagree with him.
No, I think it's cool.
Sounds a little cheesy, but I mean, I think if you look at the target, I'm the youngest person in here. I'm not gonna be looking for that. So I think if you're looking at people who are older and that's what they're looking for, then it
our demographics,
more.
By the way, is women age 30 to 55.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're going to have a problem with any of it, it's what you said. It's the words in it. Does that change the perception of the thing is going to do weight loss? You know what I mean? But I don't mind it.
Every ad in the thing says Zen Super Bootcamp. For fitness and weight loss.
There you go.
So it ties in. You never just see Zen Super Bootcamp. Zen Super Bootcamp for fitness and weight loss. But I'm open to other directories if somebody has
one. Well, I think the imagery that, the imagery that comes, and I'm an East Asian studies person, so, but the imagery for me for Zen is quiet and sedated rather.
Well, which frankly, not to cut you off, which frankly, I like that part of it.
I do too. I mean, because that's
yeah. But why did the Thighmaster work? What's her name? Suzanne Summers. She wasn't able to make the super conference that 1 year, so she did teleseminar later. I think you were there. Either way, but she. How you doing? But she is brilliant, right? Why did the Thighmaster work? What do you guys think? Sean, we're having a discussion about Eric's putting up a brilliant website for he's calling it the Zen Super Bootcamp for weight loss and fitness.
Right.
So it's basically bringing him into like a fitness type program, but they're moving straight into the regular program.
Right.
A very sophisticated internet marketing approach. So the question on the table is, do we like the word Zen? Do we think it turns him off? John's comment was that to him, Zen makes him think of sitting quietly in a corner, right? And any other thoughts about that, by the way? I mean,
My opinion on it would be, as far as women and stuff is concerned, is that that would appeal to them. I mean, that mindset, because if they don't grab,
still good,
just like any other weight loss, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry, and we keep getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's because they don't get traction early on, and the pain of having to sweat and go through all that stuff, even though they may wind up doing it, the thought of that just turns people off. I think the Zen part of it is a new approach.
Mm-hmm.
And
but you're still calling it a fitness boot camp, so it's almost a
super boot camp, yeah. I
don't know if it's the right term. I looked at it kind of like the name of our school, the Peaceful Dragon. There's a built-in contradiction there.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
think martial arts dragon, tough, then you
right.
think peaceful, meditative.
Exactly.
Okay,
I think
cool.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
And the hope with the boot camp is to kind of simulate that to some degree.
the same.
Here's my opinion. Here's my story. And I don't have an opinion. I think I like it. But here's why the Thighmaster worked, right? And Suzanne Summers had a very sophisticated understanding of this, right? Suzanne, somebody pitched her on the idea. She didn't come up with it, right? Somebody came to her and said, hey, look, I made this widget. I need a star to go pitch the thing. And was this something we're interested in getting behind? Here's how it works. And she described her decision-making process while she was deciding whether she was going to do it or not. And as soon as the lady demoed it, and the first thing the lady did was pull up a chair and put the thing between her knees and start squishing it, she said, I'm in. Right? So basically the mindset is, you mean you're telling me you can lose weight while you're sitting in a chair? I can sell that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't have to go to a
gym. You don't even have to stand up. You can do it while you're watching television. You know what I mean? That was her whole epiphany was, people are dead lazy, right? And if they can visualize themselves wearing the belt that magically makes them lose weight tomorrow, see, they don't have to do anything. You know? If you can make it so they don't have to do anything, or the perception is that they don't have to do anything. So John, that would be a reason why I kind of like it. But I think if you have a problem with any of it, I think it is a word sample. You know what I mean?
What was your exact initial gut reaction about the problem? Why did it not sit well with you?
Was it the spiritual piece or the
No, it's the imagery for me of Zen is, you know, rays of sunlight, you know, hitting dust on a hardwood floor.
Yeah, it's perception.
You know,
yeah,
and when I and then the word
it's perception.
And then Zen Super Boot Camp is Zen Super Boot Camp? And then Zen Super Boot Camp is like Super Boot Camp is sort of the commercial Zen thing. And so for me it was just
it's almost incongruent.
Yeah, it's very incongruent. And like those two terms together, you know, Super Boot Camp, like even if it was like the Zen Weight Loss Boot Camp or something.
Well,
or
do you have to call
the
it
the Chinese secret boot, you know, Chinese secret weight loss boot camp or something?
The one problem I have with it is the boot camp, because what they've gone ahead and now slated as a boot camp these days. You know, I went on vacation to Fort Lauderdale. The gym next door to me, there's a karate school a couple miles from my school. They all use that boot camp term, and they all hired some military guy dressed in fatigues to teach their boot camp. And
oh,
that's
Lord.
What it's turned into where
sure.
I am. I mean, I don't know what it's like where you are, where they do that kind
of
stuff, but that's like,
on TV too.
For me, from what I've seen, that's what triggers.
Pretty much it's becoming just a popular like
yeah.
YMCA's and health clubs are offering boot camps.
Right.
Typically, they're actually aerobics classes.
Right. Okay. I can only go by what I've seen where I am. So
yeah.
The other thought on that with the boot camp is most people, when they sign up for a boot camp, they know it's like 6 weeks.
Right.
8 weeks.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's fine, yeah.
But that's fine.
But, you know, we had this called Lynn's Boot Camp for 3 years.
Yeah.
And came in and discovered, oh, I got to pay $200 a month for 12 months and they were happy to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just how you
see. Yeah.
It takes a 2-hour presentation to make it happen.
Yeah.
There are a lot of hoops to jump through beforehand. But by the time they get there, they're like, can I please join if we did it correctly?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't confuse lead generation with the sales process.
Yep.
Yeah. Because they're very, very good at. You know, once they're there, then it's on.
That's
game
true.
On.
That's true.
You know, I like it. And again, you're asking the wrong group of people.
Exactly.
You need to grab a group of 30 to 55-year-old women and ask them.
Right.
You know what they think. You know,
yeah.
I would
agree.
Because
that's right. I mean, yoga classes, right? A lot of people that come to my kickboxing class do yoga. You know, so. It's hard to tell. I mean, that to me, it can work.
I like the name.
Yeah,
it
can work.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, I'm the
testing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an easy one I think on this one, you're going to end up having 7 or 8 websites. You know, one of them you're going to be wearing like a uniform thing. One of them you're going to be wearing like the T-shirt with the whistle. One of them you're going to have some military guy in fatigues. One of them you're going to have, you know what I mean? I think this one scales. I think you have different models of how to promote this thing. I think you've got one website where you're wearing the Zen-looking clothing, and that's the tone of the thing. And then you've got another website that's the guy in the military fatigues with the whistle around his neck. And then you've got another one that's a woman, you know, the instructor thing, all that sort of stuff.
What would differentiate what drives people to which?
just split tested different headlines on Google. You know.
Oh, you mean testing different? You don't mean actually?
I think you run them all. I mean, if they're all working, you know what I'm saying? So I think this scales well. There's enough search volume in any geography, frankly, for weight loss that it, you could have multiple sites, right? So you just segment the market and then build a direct market to message match with each one of those sites, right? So like,
I already know there's men don't join, so it's a women's market, middle-aged women,
right,
who have decent income. What would I be segmenting? Like, why would I further segment?
Well, it's a good question. What immediately springs to my mind is you're going to have folks that are searching for diet, folks that are searching for exercise, folks that are searching for other things, right? So you just reorder your sales letter around so that it changes the perception from diet to this is the program. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think you have multiple tiers. I think you have diet. I think you have supplement seekers. I think you have, you know, pill poppers, right? You know, and there's lots of those guys doing searches for GNC and stuff like that, right? I think you've got the traditional
fitness
folks.
At a general level, I funnel them all into this, but as I get better, I would have specific.
I think you start buying different terms. You know, you start buying the people who are looking for, you buy, what is it, Xenadrin or whatever? You know what I'm saying? Like whatever supplement's hot, you go buy keywords in that thing. You know, and then drive them to the site that immediately flips them from, I know you were, you know, looking for Xenadrin, and here's the reasons why that shit will kill you.
Yeah.
And this is the better solution. You know, that stuff.
Yeah.
I think this scales big time. You know what I mean? I think this is one of these big horizontal things. You know? See, martial arts, we don't have that. We do. We have, but nobody does it. We have character development for kids. We've got weight loss and stuff for families, but we've also got, you know, ADHD, and we have birthday things, and we have focus problems, and we have reading problems, and we have grades problems. See, all that stuff should scale horizontally too. I like this.
Yeah, I think the name when you're talking about Zen Boot Camp, you're looking at it in contradiction of terms. I think, of course, I'm not a middle aged woman, but I would think.
Thanks for the disclaimer.
Yeah, right. But I would think that it almost, you know, like you said, you know, everybody pictures boot camp of, you know, drill sergeant, you know,
right,
screaming at him and all this and stuff like that. The Zen boot camp would be a calm boot camp.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
so
what I get. It's the
I
mix of the two.
I think that appeal to that market. I think it's a great thing.
Lynn's boot camp was half and half. She brought in the meditation, Qigong, Tai Chi, along with the aerobics and other weight stuff. This just kind of keeps that, but in the marketing brings it sort of the looking for that niche, whether it works or not, remains to be seen. But
right,
you got plenty of gyms to go to. You don't have too many options if you're looking for kind of spiritual growth, getting your life in order, and losing weight.
But you have to remember, too, that not everybody likes a gym. Not everybody likes the gym aspect. Some people who are conscious about their weight or whatever may not want to be in a gym where you see other people that are all buffed and they're up there working out. So it gives them a different avenue to go to if they don't like the gym.
Exactly.
Well, that's the big.
That's one of the deals that started Curves.
Right.
Exactly.
Curves and Remedia as well.
That's why Curves works.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it too. I like the name.
As far as what do we need help with, I actually have like 5 or 6 specifics that I'm hoping collectively maybe people have the answers. I can just go through the list. George and Robbie can take notes for me and get some answers. First off, I want to make sure for our general, the peacefulbagging.com website, we're trying to really maximize our search engine optimization skills. So I've never gone out and bought other websites to tie back, so I'm going to do that. I've searched what's available. For the most part, Charlotte Karate, Charlotte Martial Arts, Charlotte Yoga were already purchased. But in many cases, Karate Charlotte has not been purchased, or Charlotte Dash Karate has not been purchased. So these are all available. So I think I sent you an email and told you I just want to first clarify, at least as far as I understood from the research I could do, Yahoo does distinguish between word order, but Google does not. So if you have Charlotte Karate or Karate Charlotte, it comes up equally. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. For Google, that's right. Yeah.
For SEO, yes. Obviously,
yeah.
For native, it's a little different because they wouldn't be typing it in that way, but they might be typing Karate in Charlotte or Karate So I think you're fine.
Okay.
I think you're good.
What about buying the .orgs and the .nets instead of just the .coms? I mean, does that work the same way or no?
It does, but
it doesn't have as much draw.
It doesn't. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I asked.
Exactly.
Now I've got my web guy working on this, so we've picked out 12 URLs that we're going to buy. My next question, I want to make sure we're structuring it correctly. If somebody types in basically Charlotte Karate or Charlotte Yoga, we want them to ultimately come back to our adult sales page. The question is, if we create the Charlotte Karate as a separate URL, is it best for it to go to its own landing page that basically is optimized for the term Charlotte Karate? It doesn't have to be a long page, but just a page, got sales stuff, that then has a link, click here for your 2 free classes or whatever, that brings us back to our main site registration page and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the best model because you're then getting the outside link coming in and so forth, or is there a different, should it just be, you click Charlotte Karate and right away just comes to our main page, or what's better?
Well, any strategy thoughts on that before I tell you?
I have all of mine pointed at one page.
I think if you auto forward though, it doesn't count as a.
Doesn't count as a.
Yeah, so.
Yeah,
that's
a 301 redirect does though.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a new way to do that.
What's it called?
It's a 301 redirect. It's a redirect command that Google does spider. But.
Redirect this thing?
Yeah. But my opinion is that you might as well copy and paste the whole page over and then optimize for that term.
And I would maybe change the header text to respond to the keywords a little
right.
bit.
That's what I was saying. The whole header text, all your keywords, meta text, stuff can all be optimized.
That's the optimum strategy.
Mm.
The optimum strategy is create a completely separate site on that URL, on that domain, that's totally optimized for that set of keywords, the copy and everything. And then at the bottom of every one of them, do like, you guys have seen this before. Show you kind of how this one works.
What's it called? A 301?
A 301 redirect. Okay. And then. You obviously, you're going to do a Google sitemap, right? You're going to do a Google sitemap that gives them. It's only one page, but you still want to do a sitemap, that XML sitemap. And then at the bottom, do this, right? And you can do that way at the bottom if you want, but these are all the link backs to all the other sites, okay?
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
This is called the butterfly principle, right? You know, like a butterfly flaps its wings in Africa and there's a hurricane, you know, 3 months later in Florida because of the wake of their flap, right? So this is the same thing. What you want to have is you've got, picture your site in the middle, and all these other doorway pages all around it like this, right? You want them all to be linking back to each other, right? And then ultimately linking all back inside here.
Not that anybody necessarily ever clicks on them, but
no.
Just the fact that they're there creates it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're linking. And in fact, these used to be, before Google got wise to it, these used to be all in white text. You know, so there was just, it was called ghosting at the time. You just put it white text, one point type, and it would still, the Google bot would still spider it, but you couldn't see it to click on it. Now it's showing because they caught on to that. But that's all. You just link them all back around to each other.
And if you have the exact same format, page after page, does Google take off points for that? Or is that okay?
No.
There's
a duplicate.
In theory, if you have duplicate,
there's
content,
a duplicate,
too much, that
yeah.
is probably.
There's a duplicate content. But if you re-optimize for those keywords and haven't changed the copy enough, you're fine. Especially for what we're doing. I mean, you know, this is overly, you know, sophisticated for anything we want to do, but that's how you do it.
And last question on that part then is, if you go to, instead of our main Kung Fu page, let's say you go to Charlotte Karate, it takes you to that other separate page that's optimized for Charlotte Karate search. Would there be any reason to keep your menu bar of different things like About Us or whatever, that would click back to our main page, or would you just delete all that? Like our main page has.
What is it again?
PeacefulDiver.com.
think a term that's generic like karate, people who search for karate should get martial arts. If someone's searching for yoga, on the other hand, you might want to talk about yoga and all of a sudden change, you know, you can just cut and paste the site more or less for karate, but for something like yoga.
Well, I've already written a copy for each one. There's a yoga copy that tells you all about yoga and says, if you really like yoga, you're going to love Tai Chi, look here. That's the basic thrust of it.
So what you're talking about is this navigation here.
Yeah, would I keep any of that on the karate page, the yoga page, the meditation page that would bring you back to these links?
So what you're saying is because they're on the karate page, they're not going to be interested in that link or this link or that one.
Correct.
But it just depends on, I think you're still going to have adults and people that land on the karate page who are looking for themselves, for the kids, or for other things. So I still think you need to support.
If it's yoga, meditation, other things, I know it's adults, I want them to go to the adult classes page.
I think that's right, yeah.
But things like blog, contact, I want those on each individual page that just come back to the main blog.
I don't think so.
Are you doing video squeeze pages on those other things?
In a sense, yes. Definitely doing the video on each one, whether it's a squeeze
page.
Yeah.
Well, what I
understood
from our meeting 6 months ago, who knows what's changed, is that on the video squeeze page, you want virtually zero links. You want the video and opt in, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm really not talking so much about the squeeze page, but the sales page.
George,
shorthand.
Whether those were squeeze
yeah.
page or not,
that was Robert kicking the
yoga sales page. Should that yoga sales page have any menu buttons at the top or not, or should it just sell you yoga, click here for your two free classes, and it brings you back to the main?
I think so. I think you want to make it pretty simple.
Right.
Thank you.
Next question.
Which, by the way, guys, this is what I was talking about yesterday with that video sort of strategy. This is that strategy. Well, the resolution's way blown up on this. This actually all fits on one screen, typically with a standard resolution. So what you've got is this little video that basically persuades you to opt in. And then as you scroll down, you know how you always have the copyright and stuff at the bottom of the webpage? So it looks like the webpage ends. But really, if you go down, like, you know, you saw it was like four or five scrolls.
Yeah.
Then I've got this big Hasselhoff sales letter, right, with all sorts of like keyword density and stuff like that. And I keyword stuffed it pretty good. That basically is sort of like satisfying the search engines, and then this is what the human being actually interacts with.
Now, you said you had that scroll turned off on the, not this one, but the,
yeah, the
Mile High site?
The Mile High one, yeah, yeah. There's just a little XML command, I can't remember, or an HTML command, I can't remember what it is, but it just turns the scroll off.
Can you go back to my homepage? It's the same thing. Scroll down there, a bunch of white space, and then there's all the options.
Yeah, you know, I might make this red down here, this color.
Okay.
So it looks like the page is done. You know, and maybe even put like your little copyright down there or something like that.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, it's six on one hand, half dozen the other, really. Because really, what you want them to do here is just sort them out. You know, so you really don't want them. But yeah, I like it. The other thing now, too, by the way, which is way too complicated for all of us, is the, I've got the code for it, we just haven't done it yet. We haven't, like, figured out how to make it work on our server yet, is it predicts when they're going to exit.
Wow.
Right? So, like, Chris Pizzo's been dealing with it. So watch what happens. Wait, let's listen. What's his website? Up. Okay, yeah, the resolution's still a little wacky. but you got the thing, right? Now watch, 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 watch. When you move like you're gonna go to the back button. Says, don't leave yet. Wait. The thing tears back and says, wait, 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 wait. Here, we'll give you a discount. Instead of $89.97, it's $59.97. $59. Right? Then if you, say yes, and it's timed, yeah, you only got 3 minutes. And then you go, and then you say yes, and then it says, well, here's another, here's an even better offer. Right? You can get all this stuff. And of course, basically what Chris's business model is, which, by the way, this is something to think about, where Chris's business model is he sells you the how to defend yourself stuff and continuities along with it, these supplements. The real business is the supplement business. So he's literally giving away all the stuff he used to charge $3,000-$5,000 for to get you on the supplements. Once he gets you on the supplements, that's the tail for that customer is very long because it's like the DVD of the month club. It's just they get automatically put on that subscription and it's, you know, $69 a month or something like that. Whatever, they don't, you know, cancel the credit card. But anyway, but this is the same thing. Look. Wait. Maybe I'm not moving fast enough. Oh, maybe you took it off. Huh. You had it on that page, too, for a while. Wait. So that's clever. I'll let you know when I get that script worked out and stuff, and I'll let you have it if you want it.
That is really cool.
It's just clever. I don't know if it really does anything. I mean, you know, it probably saves a couple of them from going away.
Chris,
yeah, he's a smart.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. I didn't mean to derail you there.
Changing gears. I know we have three in our basic program, kids or adults. You have three levels, your introductory program, your mid-level, and then your premier leadership, whatever you call it. I've always had the three and emphasized when you upgrade, emphasizing the top one, but also talking about you have the option of the middle one. I'm thinking I just rewrote everything to completely eliminate any word of the middle one whatsoever, just have the basic and the top one, and only at the upgrade conference, if there's like a real issue, even mention that, yes, you do have this lesser program if that's what you have to do. Does that make sense to do, or do you see any reason to not do that?
If you don't want people to go there, why give them that?
Why even tell them it even exists, right? Yeah. They might know it exists because they've seen one or two other people, but basically saying you have this basic program and now we're trying to get you this top one. That's my thinking. Is that usable?
Any other thoughts on that?
People might get irritated, I guess, if you don't present them with the three options and present them. You know, here's your choices are, you know, B or B. Oh, you don't want B, well, okay, here's option C. But
I think if you do it right, I mean, if it's, you can have a car, you can't have a car. Well, you know what? Let me give you a bicycle. This is something.
Well, I mean, could you go with your kind of your other theory, like what you're doing with your boot camp of, you know, you want everybody to be on leadership, but then there's like this higher end leadership that's outrageously priced that you really don't want anybody in, but that at least they that way they feel they have an option, you know, and go that route. So you're basically offering a program that is going to be priced so high that nobody's going to take part in it, so you don't have to worry about the program. So you still move in everybody to...
And if they do, you know...
Yeah.
And if they
do,
well,
well, that's okay. I mean, if they're going to pay that, then you figure out how
to... You
just got to
have a program.
Actually, some of you were here last year. I was about to launch a mega-priced higher thing, but that's right when the economy crashed, so I just put that on hold. That was
going
to go from $9.97 to $29.
Any other thoughts on that? Well, let me give you one more way to maybe think about it. If you went to the doctor and you had a problem, and the doctor said, you know, here's my recommendation, and the guy said, well, I just, you know, there's just no way in hell I can afford that. And he said, well, you know, here's another solution to the problem, but it's not going to get you optimum results, and it's really not what I would recommend, but, you know, it's an option. I don't think they would be pissed off at me. You know what I mean? So I mean that obviously that's how we do it. You know, we always sell leadership and downsell them to Master Club if there's some sort of weird.
But I noticed on your website that you gave us the black belt something where it's like
not a black belt.
Gives it preps them for your upgrade conference. You do mention the different options there.
Yes.
So I've gone to the extreme of not even mentioning it. I'm just wondering.
I had to do it over again, we wouldn't.
Yeah.
In fact, that video was cut before we even launched, before they launched leadership. So that's why it was even mentioned. So had our druthers, we will. I mean, I think we've already refilmed it, but you know, and making it visible.
Next basic question related on upgrades. Right now, I'm getting maybe 10%, maybe less prepays. I'd like to get that up to a third as a goal. What is everybody finding is, in my case, you basically have three payment options. Prepay, you get a 35% discount. Accelerated payment, you get a 15 or 20% discount. Or just pay the monthly tuition as full price. So you have three options. First off, should they have the three options? Should it just be two options? Second off, what's the best? And I'm no expert in this whatsoever, so I never even compare notes for the most part. What are you all doing? What are you finding is working well? Do you first say the program is $300 a month? Well, maybe I can do that, maybe I can't. Well, by the way, would you like to save 30%? You can prepay. Is that approach? Or do you start off with just here's your total tuition prepay amount, that's your best price? And then if they say, well, I just don't have that money, well, you can pay it monthly. But so that's the two, as I see it, the two general options that people do. Which one are you all doing and which one are you?
We back them down. So we'll go from a big number, which is the total program price. And we don't tell them that there's a prepaid discount, but we tell them this is the total program price for the price of the program. And then we'll give them, basically you have a couple different ways you can pay it. You can make one cash payment, you know, a credit, whatever, one upfront payment of this amount, and we knock, I think it's 15% we take off the top, or 20%, something like that. You know, so it's this price. And then your next option is the next smaller number. So it would be, we do our next program payment down as it's three payments, 3 months in a row. So that's the next price. So it's, you know, smaller than this number, but bigger than this number. So that way, if they're not going to cash out, when we get down to that monthly payment price, it looks really itty bitty tiny. So, I mean, that's just kind of the order we do. And I mean, we average about 15% a month on cash outs. You know, and I'll be honest, I don't want my number any higher than that. So I like to have the steady income stream coming into the school. I don't want that much cash in hand. I've seen too many bad things happen with it.
You should describe that as the sticker shock model.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on that?
I mean, basically the same thing as you do.
Start with the full price and then move down.
So you're starting with the full, if you pay the absolute full thing times,
yeah,
36 months.
Yeah, my basic program, basic entry program is 1987. My leadership program is 5,700 and change. So we'll start with that number, and then we back ourselves down.
Anybody else doing anything different, or is everybody doing?
I just basically say this is the price, but they know what the amount is, like, because it's a 3-4 year period. I don't even give them that amount, you know, and I just say, look, this is the price. It's $150 or whatever it is, and that's it. I don't go through all that.
Yeah, but see,
so
we don't have a choice.
You don't take cash, basically.
It has to be declared.
It already depends.
I mean, you're not moving them to get the cash.
No.
Sean, I got a question for you. Where you are, is it by law, do you have to tell them what the total price is? See where we are, we do.
Oh, by law.
They have to know what they're signing and what they're paying for. Like, my contract has to have what the total contract is on.
Oh, yeah. I see.
So that's why we start that way.
Ah.
So Ron's model is presenting more at once. It's basically a sheet. You have this choice, this one, or this one. Which would you like?
I don't like that. The two arguments as I see it is this. It's the sticker shock model, or it's the move them up model, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we do the move them up model, right? And again, I'm not going to say one thing is right or wrong, but I do have a suggestion for it. But here's why. If you had to pick a benefit of the move them up model, the benefit is you get an immediate commitment. See, you never want to allow someone to make a compound decision. That's why I don't like that.
Never what?
You never want to allow someone to have to make a compound decision. So, for example, you wouldn't want to say it's a 12-month deal at $197 a month.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work for you?
Right.
Because then if they say no,
you're done.
Well, what did they say no to? Was it the 12 months, or was it the 197, right? So we do everything exactly one step, one decision at a time, everything, right? We've tried to pare it down, everything to one decision. So basically we say, well, you know, and in fact, that goes with the down payment and the monthly as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you say, well, it's $1,500 to enroll and $359 a month, how's that going to work for the budget? See, now you give them two things to object to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so make a long story short, how we're doing it currently is, you know, the whatever, can't get in state, hit my head right, I'm in state right now, but the tuition is X, is that going to fit comfortably into your budget?
That being your total of your prepaid?
No, the $359 a month.
Okay.
Right.
The total, the tuition is $359 a month.
Yeah.
Does that, how's that, would that fit comfortably into your budget?
Right.
Get one decision, yes or no. Work on that problem.
Right.
Then we move to, okay, here's how we do it. And our target was 20% cash for a long time. Now we're probably in the 10% range. Right, so I ain't saying this works any better, but I'll tell you that this is our logic, right? It's okay, Mrs. Jones. Total, the, you know, your monthly tuition is $359 a month. Will that work comfortably, you know, within your budget? Yes. Okay, great. Well, it's $1,500 to enroll, and then you know, $359 a month on for the program. How would you like to handle the $1,500 today? Check, cash, credit card. Get the credit card. Do the thing. Run it. Come back with the paper. And say, well, I mean, you're sitting down, right? Say, you know, Mr. John, I totally forgot, but there is another option as well. If you'd like to save a little bit of money, some people like to do that. If you'd like to make a one-time payment, you can actually save 18% APR plus an additional 20% off the tuition. Would that be something you'd like to see? See, I've already used the vocabulary and the frame that makes them think about if they put on a credit card, they're still going to save money, right? So then we say, okay, well, you know, the number is this, is $24,000, you know, a cash payment is, a one-time payment is $13,200, and then you're covered all the way out to, you know, to secondary black belt. What a lot of parents like to do is just take that and break it up over, you know, two or three credit cards, and they're going to save the 18% off the interest anyway, plus they're going to save an additional 20% off the tuition. And the great thing about doing it that way is, you know, when things are a little tight, you know, for a month, they don't have to make that whole $359 payment. They can just make the minimum payment on their credit card. Or when things are more flush, they can make bigger payments and pay off bigger chunks of it as they go. Which one of those would work for you? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we really, you have to, it's just like when you ask somebody to bring in a referral, right? You can't just say, hey, do you know anybody else that might benefit from this? Because you've given them the entire universe of human beings to choose from, right? See, this is, I've given them an exact frame to think about this. Do I have two or three credit cards that I can split this up over to be able to save the $4,000 or $5,000, whatever it is? You know what I mean? So that's our strategy. Our strategy is we get the dead commitment.
And that strategy, I'm sure the effectiveness has changed dramatically in the last year.
Absolutely. That's why it's down to about 10% now.
Right.
Yeah. That's why right now our typical cash ratio has been around 20, 22, 25%, right? But now it's like 10, you know. Yeah, so definitely it's about half. And in fact, for a while, we had changed this approach, like maybe 2 years ago, we had changed this approach to talking about home equity, right? Because there was a flood of home equity in the marketplace, right? So instead of putting it in terms of putting it on a credit card, we would still say 18% APR plus an additional 20% off the program. You know, what some people are doing is, you know, they have so much equity in their home that they can now access. You know, their home equity line is only 5% for 20 years. You know? So now their payments are only, you know, $100 a month, whatever it is, or $60 a month or something like that, right? So yeah, we are always kind of shifting that. But
so at this point there's no outstanding better or worse ways?
Nope.
Just depends.
Nope.
You said you're getting 10 or 15%?
About 15.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's better than we're doing.
That's about what we're doing, 10%.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. What works, works. I don't care why. I don't like the multiple, too many decisions to make, right? I think that's too many decisions. It's a compound decision. Because I guarantee you, Ron, if you change that one thing, you'll have less people say, well, I have to go home and think about this.
Mm-hmm.
I got to think about these three options. If you get them to commit to the first one,
yeah, that's the issue we've been running into.
Yeah, if you get them to commit to the one, get the deal done, signed, inked, dry, then give them another option. See, now you don't have that, you know, well, I need to go talk to my husband about this appearance. You know what I mean? Or as much. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Can I bump in here about the pricing question I have? Maybe I'll show you the actual sheet. I offer two programs.
Are you good, Eric?
Yeah.
Good.
One of which is, I call it a trial program and my basic program. In the trial program, they join and they cancel with a 90-day notice. But it's an ongoing program. And my basic program is a 12-month commitment. I like this because it sort of eliminates some price objection. I don't have to deal with that. Commitment objection, I mean. I don't have to deal with that if they don't want to commit. They can just join the program. It just costs a lot more. Let me show you my sheets.
You said the basic program is a 12-month commitment.
Right.
Wow.
And people, well, he's got two. He's got a weak option and a strong option, basically. He's got like a 6-month option and a 12-month option. The 6-month option is like, you know, 50% more tuition. Is that an accurate description?
Yeah. So, you know, my pricing sheet looks like this. And it says, you know, there's two ways to join the school. One is you can join on a trial basis where you can cancel within a 90-day notice. That gives us enough time to turn things around, you know, work it out. And the other option is a basic program, which is what most people do, where you just sign up for, you know, your lessons. It's $177 a month, which you're more comfortable with. But that's kind of a compound decision, right?
That's a compound decision, yeah.
I never have anybody. I almost have nobody doing this, but if they do, I don't really mind. So I'm just 50 bucks.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Have you ever heard our presentation when we do that piece of it?
Yeah, I think
let's mention
the time commitment.
Yeah. We don't talk about time at all. We don't talk about 12 months ever until, like, they sign the contract. Right? It's $197 a month without working your budget.
So
yes,
until they sign
on
the dotted line, you don't tell them it's for X amount of time.
No, all what their frame is, when they're signing the deal, what their frame is, what they believe, is I'm enrolling in the school, and within the first 2 weeks to 2 months, they're going to be evaluating me to see if I'm good for this other thing. That's all. That's all they're focused on, right? Now, when they do the deal, we walk them through the contract, and we say, well, you know, the tuition is $197 a month. It's it's a minimum of 12-month term, da-da-da-da-da. But keep in mind, within the next 2 weeks to 2 months, we're going to be talking about this anyway. So, and that just totally relaxes them about the whole 12 months anyway, because now they're not... See, the last thing in the world any of us want to do with any of our folks is get them to think like, I make a decision every 3 months, or I make a decision every 6 months, or I make a decision every 12 months. No matter what that number is, it doesn't matter. You just don't want them to be thinking that way. What you want them to be thinking is, I'm enrolling so that I can go do this other thing. Everything else is like secondary. So yeah, just simplify that, you know, that decision-making process.
Just get rid of the trial program.
I wouldn't even talk about it. I mean, it works. I mean, look, yours works too. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. All this stuff works. But again, you got to think about what you're going to do with these folks, you know, 3 months from now, 5 months from now, 6 months from now, and set up all the systems ahead of it so that it doesn't violate that frame.
And in the event if somebody was to cancel before that 12-month period finished,
do you just cut them loose,
or do you expect the rest of that payment for the 12-month period?
Well, we delegate all that to ASF, so we don't ever deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, we only deal with the student, you know. So, you know, in reality, they signed a contract. ASF is going to go try to collect it, but you know, we've never sent anybody to court or sent anybody to collect
it. That's a different issue. Yeah.
I was just wondering how you handle that if you're making somebody commit to 12 months, if they decide that they don't want to stay for the 12 months,
that's the other issue.
That's what I was worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how would he deal with that?
Well, we go to work working on the student.
Exactly.
We don't worry about
right.
the rest of it.
Exactly.
We're working on the student.
Right. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It is a bit of a different question. It's certainly one worth a lot of discussion. But what unfortunately Jonathan is doing is sort of muddying the waters and confusing them a little bit for what he wants to do with them 3 months from now. Right?
He strategizes.
See, I would just simplify all that stuff, because you don't want them thinking about season to season to season. That's the worst thing in the world we can do to them, you know. I'm really big on getting in somebody's head, you know, because you have to feel their emotions and feel and understand what their belief systems are before you meet them, right? And then get them to believe the way we want them to believe. Because frankly, I think it's right. I think we're right. You know, if I didn't, you know, I'd freaking do this thing, right? I mean, none of us would. You know, we all know. All of us believe, belief, not a theory or a thought. We all believe that if they stay with us forever, they're going to be better human beings for it,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and we saw a bunch of better human beings over at Charles School yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, okay. Sorry, Eric.
Two last quick questions. We're going to take advantage of a variety of people. Jordan, Robert, they're role is each of them is kind of half instructor, half program director by design, so working full time. Want to make sure we're efficient and also being fair. I just like a comparison of the actual hours that you guys in general, your full time instructors and or program directors are putting in each week. Not that they're supposed to or wish they were, just what are they actually doing? How many days a week, how many hours a day? People want to just kind of make the comparison.
Well, he's the third largest employer.
Just when you thought you had to know. I was fourth, but then that whole thing with AIG went down.
Right, yeah.
When Jonathan downsized,
that's a good answer.
He feels it.
That's the right answer.
4 days a week, 6 days a week.
So what you're saying is your guys were full time 40-hour week employees.
Yeah. My program manager gets off at 9:30 on Saturdays because he goes to work his second job because he's a performance instructor in another school. My marketing person is kind of my backup, my program manager. Works like 30 hours a week because she's a mom, so she needs to go home.
Do you pay some salary?
No, they're both salary.
That's what I want to know, what they're working.
They're really working probably 50 hours a week each. I have one on the schedule for about 30.
Program director works 40 hours a week, salary, Monday through Friday. Then I have, you know, a couple part-time instructors get paid hourly, so.
Part-time.
Program director works between probably around on average about 42 to 47 hours a week.
She's good too.
Yeah. Gina, I like Gina. I like all my guys, but instructors, my lead instructor, Karen, he wasn't there last night because he's got the flu. He normally works about roughly 32, 34 hours a week.
Is he paid for full time salary?
He's paid hourly. And Gina's paid salary. And then Ethan, he normally works about 40-45 hours a week. He was the guy that you saw there last night.
Is he hourly or salary?
He's hourly. Everybody else is hourly.
Okay.
Well, I'm gonna be the odd duck out. Mainly because I have me and my wife and we do a lot of it. But I have
real efficient though.
Yeah, we try. I have two, they're full time in my eyes, but they don't work 40-hour weeks. I have two instructors that run my floor for me. I don't teach anything anymore except for my adult classes and whatever kids' classes I want to teach. They're both hourly. I'd say one works probably 25 to 30 hours a week, the other one only works maybe 15 to 20 hours a week. And then my program director that I just hired, her schedule's currently in flux because we brought her on part-time originally because I'd had so many problems. I'm actually, this is my fourth program director this year. You know, we'd done a couple interviews. I tried a younger girl. I tried a middle-aged girl. I tried an older lady that, you know, had some kids that were all grown up and out of the house, and that didn't work.
Yeah.
And I think I finally found the right person. So she started with just 2 days a week. She's now on 4 days a week. So she's working about 30 hours a week, and she's hourly but commissioned. So she's making an hourly salary, and then she does commissions off the number of sign-ups she does. So then that's about where we are. I mean, you know, me and my wife pretty much handle everything else, so.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the same boat. See, what I'm tickling with right now, probably in September, I'm looking at a temping service because I want to stay away from health insurance and all that kind of stuff. But more than likely, I'm not gonna. You know, there are certain things I'm gonna do, but I don't want a full time. Person working, I want to be as efficient as possible, but I'm looking at a temping agency. We're looking at that, so I think, you know, that way there I can avoid a lot of the insurance and salary stuff like that. So I think that's a good piece of looking to.
Isn't that piece of the growth curve?
My high model is one program director, one full time instructor. How many hours would you say there physically show up?
Quite a bit. Probably 10 hours a day.
How many days a week?
Six.
So six.
Saturday is like a half.
And to be honest with you, Eric, if I had my way, that's where I'd want to be too. I wouldn't want to do it the way we're doing it, but I don't have, all my instructors are 22 and under, so I don't have, you know, that older instructor that's out of college that doesn't have other things during the day.
See, our model is very different. Our, you know, keep in mind all this stuff, by the way, all the discussions that we have here. I mean, look, you know, there's no right or wrong in much of any of this.
Right.
Now, there is some flawed thinking sometimes, right? There's some strategy
right.
that we know
right.
doesn't work very well, and there's strategy that we know that works better. Keep in mind, our model is that we have, in most cases, an owner-operator on site
mm-hmm.
and then a full-time employee. That's
right.
the two,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is the guy who owns this. This would be you and another full-time guy. And typically, we can pretty efficiently run schools about up to about 300 students with those two folks.
Mm-hmm.
At 300, you know, you usually have a pretty good full-time assistant instructor, right? Sometimes you'll have a part-time assistant instructor at 200, 250, something like that, just, you know, to be able to breathe, right? But again, keep in mind, our model is we're trying to build a very efficient business model that's replicatable over a bunch of cities, a bunch of folks, right? A bunch of people. So, you know, Eric has his own building. He's got this big thing. He's got a lot of students. He doesn't want to teach 60 classes a week. You know what I mean? See, that's a big piece of this decision is that, you know, one thing I think we can all do better, or we all need to be thinking about, let's say, for in the future, is building the ship that we want to sail on now. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people build this ship, and they get halfway out across the Med, and they go, I don't like this ship. This isn't the ship I want to be on. And then by then, it's like sinking already. You know what I'm saying? So you do have to build the ship you want to sail on.
How do people structure their commissions for the program manager? Is it, you know, by registration? Is it?
I have George and Robert each get a base salary, and then they get a commission for sign-ups, which is small, and a commission that's five times that for anybody who opts.
Yeah, we're similar. I mean, you know, she's on an hourly wage, and then for every sign-up she does, it's $50. And for every upgrade she does, it's 200. So
that's comparable. What are you guys making?
52. Same, 50. Yeah.
52.50.
And we split every commission.
In the same way.
You split it?
Yeah,
I like it more.
Yeah, so commission, lower and lower,
it.
Sign up for basic, and higher and lower,
get rid of it.
I just pay straight salary, great deal, and then I just give them perks for it. Job's well done,
and
things like that.
Yeah.
Then you don't really have anybody.
Nah.
And obviously, you guys know our model. Our model is
straight
percentage. Key. Straight percentage.
Yeah, you guys
ten percent.
13,
yeah, 10%.
Well, 10, 12, 3.
Yeah.
Depends on who it is. You know.
Right.
Depends on who it is. So like 10% of the instructor, 12%.
For a franchise model, it's way simpler than commissions and all that. But in terms of effectiveness, do you think there's a big difference in commissions versus?
I'll tell you the honest to God truth on all that, by the way. The big effectiveness hitch is that you have an owner-operator on something. mean, that's what makes all this work in our deal. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think I can make an argument either way. You know, I think in theory it does, because then you have a direct connection to the incentive, not necessarily of just only the sale, but also of retention. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the commission per sale model doesn't take into account people dropping off out of the school. So I think their straight percentage model does facilitate the, I need to work hard to renew my people because they stay longer. And I also need to do the extra lessons on Saturday to get the kid going because, you know, I don't want to drop out.
Also, they don't stay the
length
of commission.
Like a part-time assistant or something like that?
For 10%?
Redo?
No.
3% is part-time. And what
yeah.
was 10%?
10% is like the head instructor.
Yeah.
12% would be like the program director slash branch manager,
yeah.
which in most cases is the owner-operator. And then another 3% of the gross is, you know,
part-time.
Because, by the way, the reason those are the numbers is because the model we're trying to operate, and we do very successfully in many locations, and in a few they can't get their head wrapped around this, we don't want payroll to be more than 25% of their total gross revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Expenses should be between 25 and 30% of their gross revenue. And there should be between, you know, 45 and 50% net. Now, some of the guys don't figure that out, and they've got, you know, I mean, you know how it is. I mean, some of these guys, they're human beings, just like everybody else. Some people have a frame that they want to have, you know, seven low-paid, part-time minions to go do their bidding, right? Rather than to have one or two really good guys, like these guys, right, that they pay really well, who are going to be high performers, right? See, the one thing you can never, ever, ever do is expect that paying somebody more is going to make them perform better. See, that never happens. In fact,
yeah.
it's almost always the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Almost always the more
so
money you give them up front, the more entitled they feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in reality, it's the opposite. In reality, you would rather find somebody who, and right now is, by the way, the perfect time to be looking for people, right? We're interviewing every Friday at NAPMA, and we're interviewing every Friday at Online Karate out in Denver. We're interviewing for program directors, chief instructors, and NAPMA. We're interviewing for salespeople, customer service, you name it, right? Because right now there's an awful lot of real talented folks out there who have been downsized or have been, you know, whatever, and you can pick them up for 20 cents on the dollar or 50 cents on the dollar, you know? We had a guy, in fact, they just fired him, but so maybe it's not a great example.
maybe
there was a reason
back.
He was downsized, I guess, but on paper, here's what it was. We hired this guy who was well-producing sales rep for a software company. He was a six-figure guy. I got him for $30,000. You know, I mean, he was making $110,000. I got him for $30,000. Now, in theory, that was great. Now I know why that he wasn't making $110,000 anymore. But there are those guys out there.
Well,
there are those
guys.
That's
the
guy. Or he was doing $30,000.
That's where he got fired.
I mean, in his mind.
Well, that could be right.
You can see that
well,
side
that
of it too.
Well, that could be right. Well, in this case, that's not the case. But you see what I'm saying? So now is a good time to be looking for people. You know, it's a good time to have venturing. Right now in Denver, we're hiring. I think we probably hired five or six already so far in the last couple of weeks. But people that have like health backgrounds or fitness backgrounds and stuff like that, and then also people that have like, you know, dealing with children backgrounds, elementary school teachers, all sorts of stuff like that. Because we're at a pretty good growth curve right now, so we need people. We need people in the training program. So in a lot of cases, we're pretending we're hiring them. When they come in, we say, okay, well, here's what's available. There's a training program you have to go through first. You know, it starts 2 weeks from Monday. Option A is you don't come back. Option B is you do, and you do the training program before we decide we're going to hire you or not. So then we put them through that thing to see if there's anybody that's good. But you know, the moral of the story here, I think, is that you want to pay high performers well as a proportion of their results because they're high performers. You don't want to pay low performers well because you think that they'll perform better. Never happens. Well, if it does happen, it happens for a very small window of time. Right? Good. Anything else?
Very last question. Does anybody do any sort of parenting classes or seminars?
I've done some. I just don't remember. It's
hard to get them to show up.
I have an odd opinion on that, mainly probably because of where we are. I think think, you know, New York is.
You are dealing with an interesting customer.
Yeah, it's a different, you know, it's definitely a different part of the country, you know. I mean, I would think things where I am are very similar probably to where Les is in California. You know, very liberal-minded people. We've made it a point not to get involved in that kind of stuff. Just because we've seen what's happened at local school districts. We've seen, you know, I mean, the local school district tried to do a Parents as Partners, they called it, where they brought, like, child psychologists in and, you know, people that specialize in dealing with children. And, you know, the child psychologist said something the parents didn't like, and it turned into all hell on wheels. So we've decided that, you know, helping the kids with their leadership skills, guiding the parents towards helping them with that stuff, you know, as they need it. And you know, sticking to teaching karate.
So you keep it relative to what you're doing.
Yeah, to what we're doing. I just, you know, if they're shitty parents,
well, does that
I can refer them to somebody. But other than that, we try to stay out of it.
That deal you were showing us yesterday, that newsletter stuff that goes out to parents and they can email. That's a child psychologist, right? That woman. That's,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, that kind of helps directly.
Right,
that
but the one thing I will say about that though, right, is everything she does is directly responded to our Power Forwards program. So it's specific on the word of the month. She's not touching anything else. You know, and I mean, you know, we'll occasionally, you know, we give the parents her blog. So, like, if they want to go and read her parenting articles, great.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't force anybody into it.
You know, it raises an interesting question for me because I do a lot of parent counseling and stuff like that because I get a lot of referrals from the school system, you know. And we get the problems fixed, but it's always, it's kind of like, you know, the dog whisperer, you know, he
mm-hmm.
rehabilitates the dogs, but he trains the owners,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's the same way with me. I rehabilitate the kids,
mm-hmm.
which is easy to do, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's the parents the problem. But I've had a lot of parents asking me to just do a parent class for ongoing training and support.
I've never gotten into either.
I've been thinking about that.
A parent to mastery type of group for interested parents.
I think like if you approach it that way, it's probably okay because the people that are going to show up want to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's
like if you have resources available, that would be good. And then although monthly, quarterly, mastermind would probably need to be monthly to make it fly out.
You know,
right.
I don't know if it's even worth
it.
It probably is.
Well, yeah, we do. Mostly it's framed around like parents as coaches, parents as leaders, that type of thing. You know, to help them, help us at home. And I mean, all the reading requirements we force them through really help facilitate that, especially like what to say in psychology.
And
you
as
know.
Far as any structured events for parents,
not as a piece of curriculum.
Well, see, and I think the other thing that we do too that kind of falls, I guess it maybe falls into that, is when we do, I do a leadership, I don't know what to call it, I guess like a seminar every 3 months, quarterly in our school,
mm-hmm.
where I bring someone in from the outside. So, like, Toby knows, when I get home, not this Friday, but next Friday, I actually have he's a life skills and leadership. He's actually a business coach is what he normally does. But, you know, everything that he does is on life skills and leadership and championship skills for, you know, growing in life. So we're paying him to come in, and he's talking to the kids in my leadership team. And, you know, all the parents are welcome to stay. We allow them to stay to listen to what's going on. So we've done that one the month. 3 months ago, we did the test that we took at
mm-hmm.
Quantum Leap.
Personality test, yeah.
Yeah, we did that, you know, and we did the same I took that presentation, just rewrote it for the kids, and I did that with the test. And then I already have scheduled for my next one, in other words, in January, I think it is. I have a retired Navy officer who went through officer school and everything coming in to talk to the kids about leadership and life skills. So, you know, that's kind of how we handle that side of things. Plus, you know, we do all the readings like Mile High does, so.
I think that is a big component, especially early on, is you've got to really get them on board with you, you know. You got to reach out to them and do stuff that gets them to engage with what you're doing in the class, you know. It's a big deal, especially when you want money. I mean, you know, when you want a premium price, I think you have to go that extra mile.
It definitely makes sense. The more interaction you somehow have with the parents, the better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which, by the way, is Robert. I slept on it, and I can't believe I let the pitch go by me yesterday. But the one thing that I think where Robert's frame was a little off on yesterday was the going green thing. Like, I understand, I get it, but keep in mind that nothing beats the impact of a tangible thing landing on somebody's desk, right? So even though they have access to the website and they can go there to look at all their curriculum and they can do all that stuff, all that's great. It is really good. But there's an innate perception of value of an email versus a package that lands on your doorstep versus a letter somebody sent you. So, you know, I think that having the kit of stuff that lands on their doorstep that they physically open and physically touch and feel and there's weight to it and all that helps advance their perception of the value of the thing.
And we do,
an email doesn't have that.
The primary one is that way. Like, we do a new student package that has everything in it,
yeah.
And we do a new student orientation as well,
yeah.
Where they'll come in monthly and we go through everything. So.
Yeah.
But I know
what I'm saying is I in almost all cases of school owners that we deal with, it's not having them pair off the things that they do, it's getting them to send more stuff to the parents. Because usually it's zero, right? And usually they're lucky if they get a birthday card on the kid's birthday, right? Which I think is, it just irritates me to no freaking end, right? I mean, you're telling me that, you know? But, you know, really it should be a series of these things that they interact with when they're not in your school. You know, the newsletter that shows up on their desk every month and the, you know, the whatever, you know, something. So that when they're not physically in the school, something shows up in front of them that they can't look around.
How many of you guys mail your newsletters? How many hand them out in the school?
Ours is totally email now.
Yeah, mine's
so
totally
email.
But we do give out flyers on certain things.
Okay.
Right, well, that we do too.
Yeah,
I mean, special events and stuff,
we
do flyers for us.
I do both. I do both with everything.
I really do like having something show up on their doorstep. You know, what it is, I don't really care much, to tell you the truth, but something that they, like, that successful kids, that is basically just, I know what happens. I mean, don't get me wrong, I have no illusions of a high percentage of our families taking that package, opening it, pulling out the newsletter, getting out the highlighter, flipping through Lee Miltier stuff, or flipping through Michelle Borba stuff, and saying, oh, I have this parenting issue. This is a great solution. I have no illusion that it's happening. Because I know that it's not. But what I do believe happens is maybe every other month they pop the CD in their CD player and they listen to that. But every month they take the thing, right, and they hold it in their hand and they go, oh, look, they sent me something from My Life Karate. Well, that was cool. And then one of two things happens. Either they set it on the desk and it stacks up, or they open it and interact with it in some way, right? In some way. And I think that there's an immeasurable value to that. You know, I think that there's a psychological connection that they make to physically interacting with a piece of matter that's very difficult to replicate any other way. Plus, I mean, it really does help us communicate home. But again, I have no illusions of how, you know, many people actually use the thing. If that makes any sense. Well, thank you, Eric.
Brilliant.
Thank you all.
Okay, so I had just a couple of things here, real quick, and I know Eric, you've got to head to the airport here pretty quick, and you're good at this stuff anyway. Here's what I was talking about earlier. You guys wanted to know a little bit about that Google AdWords keyword tool.
Let me take a 1 minute.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that instead. I need your restroom. And there's no other thing.